Okay, so there's a little bit of a, I'll be honest. First of all, I apologize, my voice is not great. That means the summer is going great, but there's a little bit of a bait and switch going on here. I thought I'm speaking to staff, and it's I'm extremely happy that I'm speaking to more than staff. It just looks like a great crowd, but I was thinking more along the lines of maybe 18, 19-year-olds, and not so much 14, 15-year-olds. So there's a lot we could do, but I don't think speaking is the icker. And so we'll start. I want to speak about the 9 days a little bit, but I know everybody's in a different headspace. Everybody's in a different place. I think that much more impactful than anything I could say would for sure be maybe just to get to know each other a little bit. We're not going to do a weird introduction thing. We're not going to get in a circle. Not doing that. But we could sing. We could sing together for a little bit. So I want to start with the end of what I'm going to discuss, and it's really the end of this whole process. Because it's something, Sof Maaseh B'Machshava Tchila. Sometimes when you deal with difficult circumstances and you talk about difficult topics, it's good to know that it's not going to end difficult. It's going to end well. And it's good in the beginning to be conscious of that and to mention that. So it happens to be also we have in the kollel in Marashah where we are, I give a shmooze at nights, and we have people who are very connected to what we do, who sponsor. So I'm proud just to start off by saying there was a boy who was with us for about a week, a soldier, an active soldier on duty right now, Sammy Cohn. I think he visited, he stopped by here for a little bit. So he sponsored this shmooze tonight, and he sponsored it to be for a complete refuah shlema for Nissan Al-Khayim Ben Chana Bracha. And I love the language. He texted me earlier that it should be for a complete refuah shlema. That's what it means, refuah shlema. But when you say double, when you say for a complete refuah shlema, it highlights something. You care, and we should care. It should be for a complete refuah shlema. So before we talk about a serious, heavy topic, I just want to, like I said, Sof Maaseh B'Machshava Tchila, I want to tell you it's going to end well. And there's a pasuk, you sing it, you heard it maybe. You say, Dabru Alev Yerushalayim, you should speak to the heart of Yerushalayim, and the heart of Yerushalayim exists very close to you. Very close. Don't feel that this is something distant or foreign. The heart of Yerushalayim is extremely close to you. It's very deep and very much a part of who you are. The karu eleo. And don't just speak, don't just dabru, but karu. Karu means you got to call. Call is not just the communication to speak. But karu means to call. To call means to yearn for something. So karu eleo. Call out to Yerushalayim. Imolot tzivaa. Because the time has come. The Jews have arrived. Its population is waiting to dwell within its walls. V'nigla kvod Hashem. And the glory of God will be revealed. So again, I said when I started, it's a bait and switch. I didn't see this coming. I thought I'm speaking to 18, 19, maybe 20-year-olds. And they threw at me these gorgeous 14, 15-year-old kids. And I wasn't expecting to speak to cool kids. I thought I was going to speak to washed up guys who are post high school and serious, just want to hear, you know, very, very uptight. But this is like a very relaxed crowd. So I want to tell you, before we speak about this maybe a little heavy topic, we'll start with a song, we'll sing together about where we're headed. And it's a tough song. This is a tough song if you know the words. You know the song. The words are not tough. The niggun's not tough. But when you pay attention to what you're saying, it's a tough song. It's a real song. And if you don't know the words, you'll ask somebody afterwards. It's not important to know the words now. You'll hear in the niggun, it's a tough song. But the tough song takes you to an amazing place, takes you to a beautiful place. And that's where we're going to end. We're going to end in this beautiful place, but we'll start, we'll get to know each other with a song. So I asked, I'm not the right person to start a song. I asked one of my friends, I'll start a song. Danke, Erich, ja. Starts a long time ago, and a long time ago is a pasuk, and psukim are real. I know when you're in school, psukim are for tests. Now I'm not even looking at the washed up guys. I'm looking at the cool kids in the crowd. Psukim are real. Psukim talk to us today. Psukim are not to memorize for tests. Psukim are very real in our lives. And so there's a pasuk. It's the beginning of the story, and we're hurting, we're in a lot of pain, and when you're in a lot of pain, you start asking questions, real questions, hard questions. And the question we asked a long time ago that we still ask today, we asked, Lama lo netzach tishkacheni? Why have you forgotten me? Because sometimes as we go through life, and these are the days that it's concentrated, that we're allowed to experience and feel these emotions. And we ask, Lama lo netzach tishkacheni? Why'd you forget about me? You left me la'orech yamin. You've been way too long. We lived a few years. We lived a decade and a half, some of you a couple decades. We lived a few years, but we lived many years. You weren't alive for 15 and 20. We lived collective lifetimes. As a part of a great people, a great nation. La'orech yom has been a lot of years we've lived. And lama lo netzach tishkacheni. And that's how the story starts. We feel abandoned. You hit these days. You know, Tisha B'Av's in a couple minutes. And I know when you're young, Tisha B'Av is a great movie day. It's a wonderful movie day. Tisha B'Av's a real day. It's a day that exists now. It's not a day that we think about what once was. It's a day that we focus and pay attention to what is now. And what is now, if a person is open-minded and honest and willing to listen to a voice, Karu Eleha, so you'll ask, Lama tishkacheni netzach? There's a part of our lives that you feel sometimes abandoned. This is very, again, this is a tough crowd, but this is a very mature, sophisticated conversation that I think everybody's capable of having. And you feel sometimes, Lama lo netzach tishkacheni? So we start the story with this painful recognition that we feel we've experienced that God has to some degree abandoned us, and we know at the end, as we started out, it's going to be a nachamu, we're going to make a comeback. I just want to talk tonight a few minutes about the in-between stage. How do we get to feeling abandoned by God, to making a major comeback and feeling like God, He wants us back and He has our back and He's thinking of us and protecting us and caring about us? What's the middle? I just want to talk about the middle. Try to discover the middle. So I told you, we spoke this week in Morishah by us, that we say on Friday night we sing songs of great optimism and great promise. And if you pay attention on Friday night when we say L'chun Aranana, L'chun Aranana starts with these beautiful verses. We say Arboim Shana Akut Bador. So I don't know if you could translate, if you're familiar with what these words mean. Arboim Shana Akut Bador. Somebody knows from the campers, from the teens. Arboim Shana, 40 years. Akut Bador. Somebody knows what that means? Okay, it's great. If we don't know, it's even better. For 40 years, Akut Bador. Something was going on for 40 years. And it continues. Va'omar Am Toei Lev of Haim. Beautiful. Now we sing this enjoyable Friday night. Am Toei Lev of Haim. Somebody knows? Enjoy your ignorant bliss. It's wonderful. Because we'll share a little bit of the truth, and it's hard to hear. For 40 years, God says, Akut Bador. I was in a big fight with these people. We were in a big fight. Am Toei Lev of Haim. There were people who strayed away from me. People who wanted to have nothing to do with me. He's talking about when in the desert, we said, we don't want to go to Israel. Israel's not for us. We want to hang out here. Maybe we'll consider going back to Egypt. But to go to the promised land, we gave up on that dream, on that hope. So for 40 years, this was a people, Akut Bador. I was in a big fight with them. And they were people who strayed, who wanted to leave me. They don't know my ways. And then, Nishbati Viati. So I took a vow, God says. Im yavon, if they ever arrive, if they ever reach El Menuchasi. So we Friday night, we sing it, you know. Hold hands, circle, arms around shoulders, Kishmak, nice, swaying back and forth. Arbaim Shana Kut Bador, God really hates us. Am Toei Lev of Hem. He says we've left him entirely. And then he takes a vow, if I'll ever allow them into my promised land. And what could we do? What could we change? So we just sat, me and my guys, we went to a place I encourage you all to go. I would encourage especially the people, if you have cars. If you don't have cars, find cars. If you don't drive, try to drive. Get to a place. It's about 30 minutes from here. Find a way. Grab a golf cart. Get a scooter. Find a way. 30 minutes from here, there's a gorgeous, unknown place. The world doesn't know it exists. We discovered a place a few years ago. We call it the lake. You know why we call it the lake? Because it's a lake. We're very, very sophisticated with our terminology. But it's a lake that you can't find. It doesn't exist on the map. We get there with coordinates. There's no name. There's no way to discover it. It has coordinates. You don't even know what that means, coordinates. Neither did I before we discovered the lake. And we went there tonight, and it was just about getting dark. You have to walk through a little bit of forest to end up there. So we traveled through this forest that got muddy at the end, and then it gets very constricted. You feel like you're getting into a very tight space. Bein HaMetzarim, it's called. Bein HaMetzarim means between two tight walls. You felt like you were walking through a very constricted place. And then you get to the end of it, when you feel like, we got to walk back, it's not safe, I'm not comfortable, I got to turn around, and then all of a sudden, the place just opens up into this expansive, gorgeous setting, like you've never witnessed. There's about a 50-foot gorgeous shore to the water, and you can spread out, I'm saying about 300, 400 feet, open, quiet. Nobody there, no wildlife, we hope. And then we just spread out, each guy on his own. It grew dark, and we sat there by ourselves, and I'm sure the rest of us had the same hope that I was sitting with. I need to see stars. Because when you see stars, there's something extremely inspirational about seeing stars. You don't see it when we live in the city. When you come out here, if you go to a place where there's no lights, it's far, it's distant from civilization, you can start to see stars. And so we were sitting there, and I was waiting. And it was 10 minutes past, maybe 1. 15, 20 minutes past. It was like Tesa Kohavim, 3 middle-sized stars, like you see. But nothing inspirational, nothing dramatic. You get to 25, finally 30 minutes, with the twinkles, started to come out, and I had this epiphany while we were sitting there. You can't see stars until it gets really dark. If you want to see stars in life, you got to get to dark places. When there's too much light, you want this inspiration of these twinkles. There's something very special, something gorgeous, something beautiful about these twinkles that exist in the sky. But in order to get there, you first have to travel through dark places. And it says, Kol Rodfeh, in the beginning of Eicha, Kol Rodfeh Hisigua, that people who chase God, the Medrash explains, if you live a life that you're genuinely curious, it starts with curiosity, and curiosity turns into a yearning. If your curiosity takes you to a place of yearning, that you're yearning to discover God and to know God. And a lot of you are young. And when you're young, sometimes you have this occasional lightning, this strike. I want more of God in my life. And then you brush it off. I don't even know what to do with that. I don't know where to go with that. I don't know how to chase that. You just push it away. And it disappears for a week, 2 weeks, maybe a month. And then you hit a dark spot. You hit a dark spot in life. And then again, the lightning strikes. I think I want a little more God, a little more light in my life. And when you hit a real dark spot, boom, the twinkles. The lightning starts to strike. And you pay attention to it. You notice it. And you start to be curious about it. And you want it. And you yearn for it. But it's still just on occasion. It doesn't last for too long. You get back on the basketball court. You're busy with Shabbos walks. You got a whole agenda to accomplish over here. You don't have time for this stuff. Until the repeated cycle comes back. And you find yourself in a place called Bein HaMitzarim. Bein HaMitzarim means between two walls that are caving in on you. Maybe in your personal life, if you're willing to look at it. Maybe in your friends' lives, if you're willing to pay attention and care. Maybe in the adults who live in your lives. Maybe in their world, you start to pay attention. I say all the time, you know, we live in a society. Again, we just met. We only stayed one time together. We're not yet great friends. We're starting to become friends. But I'm going to use expressions that might trouble some of you. And it's okay, we're becoming friends. So if I trouble you with some of my expressions, you'll forgive me, but we're becoming friends. I feel like we can build rapport. You're raised in a world that we're built up to be very entitled. In an entitled world, and again, if I trigger you, please forgive me, we don't see our parents. Our parents are tools. Our parents are tools for things that we need. Our parents, when they benefit us, are very important and very relevant. And when they don't benefit us, we want to ignore them and rid ourselves of their existence. Parents are used often as in these teenage years just only for benefit. And when it's useful and when it's productive for ourselves, entitled, maybe a little selfish. And I want to always to remind people, just to remind, that's all you need to remind people. Parents are people. Parents are great people. Parents are incredible people that are seldom seen by their children. Parents live big lives that are completely revolving around you. And how often do you pray for your parents? How often do you think about your parents' struggles? And when you live these small, selfish, entitled lives, how could you see your parents' struggles? Some parents are struggling financially. Some parents are struggling emotionally. Parents are incredible. Parents are amazing. But parents are also people. And parents struggle. So if you can't see, or if you don't want to look at your personal Bein HaMitzarim, and sometimes you don't want to pay attention because you feel it's too much, You don't have the headspace for your friends being a mitzarim, for your friends' constricted places of getting darker and darker, their dark places. So at least pay attention to your parents. And your parents even tell you once in a while, why don't you call your grandparents? They would love to hear from you. And your grandparents, like, not even people to some of you. They're not even people. Begrudgingly, once a week, hi, grandma, how you doing? You pass it to your brother, you pass it to your sister. Like, I gained 30 seconds. I said hi. Enough. Enough. It's like a burden you got to get rid of. And to think about grandparents, the world that they created for you. And grandparents, incredible, wonderful, but they're also people. And people means Bein HaMetzarim. People have struggles. People have health struggles. Health struggles, thank God, when you're a kid, you should never have to think about it. You don't want to think about it. But people have a place called Bein HaMetzarim. And Bein HaMetzarim gets very dark. It gets very dark in a personal way. But on occasion, lightning starts to strike. And stars start to twinkle. And you say to yourself, there's something more to life. There's got to be something more to life. And Kol Rodfeh, all those who seek it out, Hisigua Bein HaMetzarim. You could find it in the best way, in the most powerful way, in these places, in these times. So Hashem gave us a punishment. Hashem gave us a klala, that He put us in this place, these days, these 9 days, that He concentrated within this place painful experiences, painful thoughts. And He encourages us to live in these painful thoughts for a small, limited amount of time. And what does He say He'll take us to? An incredible thing. That we start out on Wednesday night. You'll hear the following verse. Echa yashva vodom. And that means, how did I get here? Echa, how did I get here? How did I get here? Yashva, to sit in a place of vodom, of isolation. And nobody wants to spend time with me in my darkness. On Tisha B'Av, I encourage you. You know, it's a good time. I know you're very cool. You're having your last summer in camp. It's a great time. But on Tisha B'Av, for 30 seconds, you find yourself a quiet corner against the wall. You put yourself on the ground in a quiet corner against the wall, away from your friends, away from all the popularity that you're chasing. And you sit in that quiet corner against the wall, and you ask yourself, Eicha Yashva, and it sometimes I find myself in my life sitting vodon, in a place of isolation. And why? Why do I have to be put in this place? Why sometimes does God have a need to put me in the place of isolation? So I'll tell you an amazing thing. So I came to share, and then we'll sing. We'll sing a little more. When you find yourself in that place of isolation, and you could recognize and acknowledge and pay attention to what that place of isolation is in your life, then you reach something called Badad. And Badad, as Roshi Tevos, the Sfas Emes writes, Bechol Derachecha Da'el. It's a place to be able to discover God and to pull a piece of God back into the beautiful world with many lights. And God puts us in that place for small amounts of time, only small amounts of time, to be able to discover Him through those strikes of lightning and bring Him back with us as we enter back into the world. So these days is a time and opportunity to bear that burden with positivity, to carry something that only exists in those dark spots and to carry it out into the rest of our lives, so that when we leave Tisha B'Av, when we get out of this, when we get to post Tisha B'Av, oh, we celebrate. Now we celebrate because like the 9 days are over. Now we celebrate because all the restrictions are gone. Now we celebrate because now we don't have to fast. I really feel that I'm talking to mature kids. I feel I'm talking to mature people right now in the room. And when I speak to mature people, I could speak spiritual concepts. And spiritual concepts, we can say to mature people, who doesn't want to have more God in their lives? Who doesn't crave to have more God in their lives? And sometimes it takes difficult spots to be able to meet up with God. But from those spots, take Him with you into the rest of your post-Tisha B'Av life. And that's what Tisha B'Av affords us. To grab hold of Him from that dark spot and to bring Him back into the post-Tisha B'Av world where the world is beautiful. Where we celebrate, but we don't celebrate because Tisha B'Av is over. We celebrate because we brought God into our normal, day-to-day, positive existence. And which mature kid doesn't crave that? I'll tell you one last story, and then we'll end on a song. I visited a camp last night, and I heard a story about a camper. At the camper, he came out to a counselor. I'll make up an age. He was 12, 13-year-old kid. He said to his counselor, late at night, it was curfew, and he said, the counselor was a little more religious, an inspirational guy, and he said, I want to learn. Just get me a book. Get me a book, something to inspire me. So the counselor was so excited, you know, this is why he signed up to do the job. He could have an impact. So he got him a book, something he thought was a great book. The kid sat on the porch of the bunk and he was reading the book, hoping to find something to lift him up. And he goes back to the counselor after a few minutes and he says the following expression, life-changing. This is such a gorgeous thing that a 12-year-old kid could say. And I believe that every 13 and 14-year-old kid thinks this and says this inside. This book's not good enough for me. I want a book that's going to change me. I want a book that's going to refine me. I want a book that's going to develop me. I want a book that's going to bring more God into my life. Which 14-year-old kid in our world doesn't want that? We live in the most gorgeous generation. That any kid you meet, 19, 20, post-Israel, 17, 18, pre-Israel, 13, pre-high school, 14, in high school, where everything around you creates so much noise. You got to be popular. You got to make the team. You got to prove yourself. You got to develop an identity. There's so much noise coming at you from all different directions. And there's this spark inside. The Karuela that's calling out. Is something bigger and deeper and better that you could accomplish with your existence. And don't forget about that. Keep pursuing that and chase that down till you have it in your hands. Because Kol Rodfeha, those who chase it, Hisiguha, they attain it. Especially now, Bein Mitzarim. So I'll sit with my guys, sit with you guys. One song, if I could ask, we'll sing together. Thank you.